Five Japanese nationals kidnapped by North Korea decades ago and now visiting Japan will stay in Japan indefinitely, according to officials in Tokyo. In a stunning admission last month, North Korea said it had kidnapped several Japanese from their homeland in the 1970s and 80s and that five of them were still alive. Pyongyang agreed to let the five visit Japan for 2 weeks. Joining us from Tokyo is NPR's Eric Weiner. Eric, who exactly are these people and why were they kidnapped in the first place?
Well, Jackie, that's a very good question, why they were kidnapped in the first place. I imagine only the North Koreans know that for sure. But we've been able to piece it together, and it's quite an amazing story. In the 1970s and 80s, as you mentioned, North Korea began kidnapping Japanese citizens. These were people who were either going about their business in Western Japan or on vacation in Europe. They were whisked off to North Korea, and they were used by the North Korean intelligence service, essentially to train spies, to train North Koreans so that they could sound Japanese, so that they could act Japanese, and that so that they could then go on missions abroad. Well, these stories circulated around Japan for decades, and nobody was really sure what happened. And then, as you said, last month, all of a sudden, out of the blue, North Korean leader Kim Jong-il admits that, in fact, they had kidnapped these people and allows the five who have survived, another eight died under mysterious circumstances, but allows the five surviving abductees to return home for a brief visit, a two-week visit here in Japan.
Why would there even be any question about this? Presumably, they would be welcomed in Japan and would wish to stay there.
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that. And the first complication is that since these people spent so many years in North Korea, they have family there. They have children that they've raised in North Korea, and those people, those family members, are still behind in Pyongyang. So that's one problem. There's also been some questions raised here about whether these people really, in fact, want to return to Japan. They're not speaking publicly. It's really their family here in Japan who are speaking for them. There's been some speculation in the Japanese media that they've grown fond of North Korea, that they spent so much time there, and that they really would not fit in, and certainly their young children, who have never known Japan, would not fit in here.
Now, as if this story weren't already surprising enough, there's been another development in this story, and that is that one of these returnees, if you want to call them that, is apparently married to a former American serviceman.
Right. And this is where things get very strange indeed. The serviceman is Charles Jenkins, who in the 1960s essentially defected to North Korea. He was serving with the U.S. Army in South Korea. And one night while on patrol, by all accounts, he simply walked across the demilitarized zone into North Korea and has been living there ever since. So the interesting question is raised is what happens if Mr. Jenkins returns to Japan? Would the U.S. place him into custody? He is essentially AWOL after all. So that is one very complicating factor, and I'm sure that's being ironed out right now behind the scenes.
Has the Japanese government formally asked that he be given clemency in America or clemency by the American military?
I don't know about formally, but certainly the Japanese government is working hard, putting the pressure on North Korea, trying to convince North Korea to allow these family members back in North Korea to come to Japan so that everybody could be in Japan. But Mr. Jenkins' case is a special one, and certainly the Japanese would have to negotiate that with the United States.
NPR's Eric Weiner, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jackie.